This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the big broadcast. Adam Ritz with you and Jay Baker in studio. This is the public affairs show that you've been waiting for. Jay, good morning.
It is a great morning and a great day for public affairs. You and I have always talked about there is a theory about public affairs. It is for the greater good. And you and I are all for the greater good. Not always easy because it involves taking care of our health, taking care of our world, but at the end of the day, it all pays off.
It does pay off, and we do like to talk about health and fitness, foundations and charities and everything in between, and we'll start this morning with ALS.org, who has been in the news here recently with the retirement, unfortunately, of the head diving coach at Purdue University. I do follow Purdue athletics. I am a Boilermaker, as you know. I'm a proud Purdue graduate, and although the football team has not been
stellar,
up to snuff or up to par, we're excited for basketball season. Nationally ranked, and at a recent home basketball game, they honored the diving coach from Purdue University. He'd been there 19 years. He just retired this past May because he does have ALS.
Well, I was going to tell you, Adam, in my network, in my group of friends, ALS is the most devastating news that anyone can receive. And it really behooves us all to be hyper aware of ALS and then try to find a cure for it.
Yeah, he is well-loved and well-respected. And if you saw him, when they honored him at halftime of one of the recent games in Mackey Arena at Purdue University, you wouldn't believe he has a sniffle or a cold, let alone a disease.
Right.
He still looks young and vibrant. He is not letting ALS dictate his lifestyle, and that he's still fully functional, though he does have some weakness in his right hand and his arm. He had been the coach for 19 years, and I don't know how much of a diving fan you are, but Purdue has an incredible diving program. Recent Olympians, in the past couple Olympic Games, there have been U.S. divers on the United
right.
States diving team from Purdue. In fact, I think this past Olympics, there was a medalist from Purdue. You know, national champions. Everything down the line, all the accolades you can think of, Coach of the Year in the Big Ten and nationally. I mean, this guy is one of the greats in his sport, Adam Soldati. And we wish him the best of luck and thank him for bringing awareness to ALS. And if you'd like to learn more or donate, you can head to ALS.org. ALS is a progressive neurodegenerative disease, and they desperately need a help, your help, to find a cure. Again, it's ALS.org. And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it, was that the Ice Bucket Challenge that was just the most amazing craze?
The Ice Bucket Challenge. And then, you know, ALS goes all the way back to Lou Gehrig. It's
Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah. Yes.
Who famously said that everybody, it's been parodied, it's been repeated and imitated. Today, I consider myself. The luckiest man, alive. Is that close to the quote?
Yes, that's pretty close. And like you said, what people sort of derive is the irony of saying, I'm extremely lucky, even though I've contracted this, you know, horrible disease. And I think I've shared with you a little bit. My journey has included that I recently was you know, given the verdict that I am dealing with Parkinson's. And Parkinson's won't kill you, but it will alter the way you live. And it's another neuromuscular disease. And in Parkinson's world, people tend to, and this is not meant to be flippant at all, but I think I love the fact that when you and I do this show, I feel like we can kind of be ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
In Parkinson's world, you say, at least I'm not dealing with ALS, because ALS is a death sentence for those that are battling ALS. So, yes, my hat is off to this coach, and I would urge anyone whose lives have been touched by this, please give, because really it all boils down to research for anything that we're dealing with as we age.
Now, I have to bring up a story of the Ice Bucket Challenge from several years ago, and I don't know the records it broke, but it took advantage of the viral nature of social media and the
right.
internet. Celebrities from nobodies to celebrities and everybody in between, people were challenging their friends, their nemesises, their enemies. They were just challenging anybody they could. Okay, I've done the Ice Bucket Challenge. Now I challenge Jay Baker to do the ice. So you'd challenge somebody, then they would do it, and it just kept growing and growing.
And didn't you have to walk onto the camera and pour an ice bucket over the top of your head, which many people, I mean, that's
yeah.
quite a shock.
Yeah, and it's funny because most of the, as this grew, I don't think I ever saw a bucket, an ice bucket. The smallest thing I saw was like a 96 can cooler that you'd take camping. I saw baby pools, like a baby pool filled
right.
with ice water. Just any enormous, giant container filled with ice water. That's what you'd have poured on top of you.
Wow.
And it really took off in the rock and roll industry, because these bands would do it on stage. It was during the summer of whatever year this mm-hmm. happened. So all these bands are out touring, and a band would do it on stage at the end of their concert, and then they'd challenge another band to do it. And I went and saw, I don't know if you've heard this band called Kiss.
I've heard of them. They're from out of New Jersey, I think.
You're kind of familiar with them. They had a tour, and I don't, at this stage of my life, I don't go to a lot of concerts. I'll just cherry pick one or two that I really want to see.
Right.
And I'll actually, you know, we've talked about this before with concert budgets and what do you spend your money on.
It's expensive.
We've talked about it on this show, just as far as like financial budgeting and wealth management go. I mean, you can't go see every concert you want to see. You won't be able to make your house payment. So I did spend some decent money on some really good seats to go see Kiss during that summer of the ALS Challenge. And it was one of my favorite memories of my entire life, because Kiss, if you haven't seen them in concert, and I know everybody knows who they are, but if you really don't, the best way to describe Kiss to a novice of the band is that they are like superhero comic book characters.
Yeah, I think that's well put.
So Paul Stanley is a human being named Paul Stanley. When he puts on that makeup and the outfit and gets on stage as the star child, lead singer, guitarist of Kiss, he's playing a part. He's a character in a comic book. He
right.
might as well be in a Marvel movie battling Thor. I mean, it's a comic book hero. So anyway, when they're on stage, 28,000 people, they're just rocking. It's awesome. I'm a little kid again. I feel like it's 1977 and I'm looking at Hit Parader magazine at the 7-Eleven. And the show ends and the lights come up and their demeanor immediately changed from comic book hero to human being. And I watched Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons like transform in front of my eyes from rock god to a couple of guys from New Jersey.
Right.
And they had a microphone. Lights were on. I mean, end of the night, like, you know, like in your old bar days when the lights came on and you were like, ooh, this person, the wig doesn't fit right or whatever. Like their makeup's running.
Right.
The wigs aren't straight. They're just, and they went into this thing about how Def Leppard, the guys in Def Leppard did the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge and they've challenged us to do it. So we're going to do it now. And they were just talking to the audience like, the way you and I talk on the show. They weren't like rock stars. They were just four guys on stage, the drummer and the guitarist, who I don't even know who they were because the originals
they
are gone.
Changing, yes.
They were just kind of there, like just happy to be there. And they all stood in the middle of the stage and some roadies came up behind them with coolers full of ice water, dumped it on them. It was great. It was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah,
and
that's very cool.
You know, and it raised tens of thousands of dollars at that one ice challenge. And then I can't remember who they challenged, but let's just say it was Fleetwood Mac. I mean, they challenged somebody at the end of it. And I think when it was all said and done after that summer, there were like hundreds of millions of dollars raised for ALS.
That's encouraging.
So I'm sure a lot of people have memories of you know, if you went to a baseball game, so the catcher at the end of the game came out and did it and challenged the catcher from the other team or whatever. I mean, that was pretty fun. That was a fun one of the best foundations we've ever covered.
And good use, as you and I know, of social media, which sometimes takes, you know, some badly, you know, some shots as not being particularly, positive.
Some people think that Satan himself is the person who invented the internet and or social media. So, yeah, it was nice to see social media come through and do something good.
Well, and you and I love the fact just that it has the phrase social media, because you're right, it's all ills rolled into one. Hey, speaking of bands doing great things, Adam, Lynyrd Skynyrd, they're this weekend going to be at a hurricane relief show. I know that your family owns property down in Florida. Florida reeling from a couple of hurricanes, Hurricane Helene and Milton, both hitting Florida with devastating effect. Mm-hmm. Lynyrd Skynyrd, who hails from Florida, will be part of the Rock and Support Bradenton Gulf Islands benefit concert that's going to happen this weekend. I thought this was great. All the proceeds will go to hospitality workers that were displaced by the hurricane. So, you know, that's something we kind of don't think about. You know, there's always that chain. It's like, we live in a town that has lots of conventions. What do lots of conventions need? They need places to stay. They need places to eat. They need entertainment. They need this. They need that. So it's everything from rock bands to the guy doing the laundry at the Hilton. You need all those workers. And unfortunately, these strong storms can displace them. So,
you know, that's interesting that you mentioned like the convention aspect of of a town, or the convention visitor bureau, or the tourism, and the guys in Lynyrd Skynyrd, they have to see and smell and taste. Ooh, that smell! How about that? How about that Lynyrd Skynyrd reference for you? Skynyrd fans know what I'm talking about. They have to see and smell firsthand how much a single concert, not a tour, but just a concert, generates in revenue for how many different people, from the ushers and the security at the arena or the venue, to the concession stand workers, to the hotel workers and the restaurants and bars nearby. With just one single event with 10 to 25,000 people showing up for a concert, if a hurricane knocks out power and or resources and venues and those concerts get canceled, how many hundreds, maybe thousands of people are impacted by not being able to make that revenue?
Absolutely. And you raise an even further point. If you're Lynyrd Skynyrd, and they have dealt with so many issues that are probably not worth going into on this show, but they've dealt with a number of issues. They've been on the road, off the road, but they've always tried to stay very true to themselves. Their last original member, Gary Rossington, died about 6-8 months ago. Tragic, but the band has carried on to their credit. And like you said, they have been undeniably linked to Florida. Well, if you're in Bradenton and you put this concert together, Lynyrd Skynyrd is a rock and roll Hall of Fame band with incredible fame. Having them on the bill helps everyone. So you're right.
For sure.
You know, if you're Lynyrd Skynyrd, you could stay home or you could go out and help, and they are out and help. So that's good.
Now, I'm going to take a detour from the show right now.
Right.
And I know you probably had another topic to bring up.
No,
but
no.
I want to, when you bring up Lynyrd Skynyrd, the first thing I think of when I hear of Lynyrd Skynyrd is a friend of mine went and saw them in concert maybe 10 or 15 years ago.
Right.
And he happened upon a ticket. It wasn't that expensive. And he was bored. And him and his wife went. And I asked him how the show was. He said, "Adam, I had no idea how many hits Lynyrd Skynyrd had."
That's a great point.
So I think a lot of people, you know, throw up their rock and roll fingers and say, Freebird, you know, that's the old cliche.
Right.
At any concert you go to, when the band stops and it's silent, somebody in the back row yells, Freebird.
Yeah.
But I just pulled up on the internet here. I don't know if you've heard of that either.
that's something Lynyrd, new, isn't it?
Lynyrd Skynyrd's songs for our listeners to, and right. myself and you, to go over their hits. So Freebird, Tuesday's Gone.
Yeah,
that's
song.
One that, without having this list right in front of me, I would have never remembered that song. But seeing it and saying Tuesday's Gone, I can hear the song in my head.
Absolutely.
Call Me the Breeze.
Yeah.
That's why they call me the Breeze. Saturday Night Special. That's a huge hit. And if you're listening and you're like a classic rock fan, but maybe you don't know, remember these songs, go to your internet, go to your Amazon Music or whatever, YouTube, and look up these Lynyrd. These are such great songs.
Well, that's why the tragedy, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd will always be linked to the plane crash that occurred in the mm-hmm. late 70s, Adam. And they had just recorded an album called Street Survivors. And Street Survivors had the song Call Me the Breeze and uh-huh. Tuesday's Gone. And you know, that was the sad part, was they were probably at their very best at a time where much of Lynyrd Skynyrd's spirit had been taken away from them. Ronnie Van Zant died in that plane crash along with Steve Gaines. Steve had been a late addition, but an amazing guitar talent. And then ironically, Steve Gaines, his sister was one of the backup singers for Lynyrd Skynyrd. She too was killed in that plane crash. And it was tragic because much of the band survived.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really in an odd situation. The spirit of your band, the guy who was the lead singer, one of the chief songwriters, he's passed on. But the other members survive. And the rock and roll world wanted them to continue. And yeah, it's just an amazing tragedy. And you know, there are so many tragedies in our world, so I don't want to go on and on about it. But it was a big night in rock and roll. And I will tell you, Adam, as a young broadcaster, I was working in South Bend, Indiana, and there were three of us at our radio station in South Bend when the news came over the newswire, and we broke down and had a spontaneous tribute to Lynyrd Skynyrd. And it was one of the greatest moments of my broadcast career, not because a tragedy had occurred, but because at that time, it was pre-internet. It was pre, you know, big world, pre this means that world. People were just genuinely touched that night that that band was going through what they were going through.
Yeah, and hearing it from really one of the few media outlets that could report it at that time.
Yeah.
And you were there.
Yeah.
This is pretty cool for me to hear. I didn't know you were such a Lynyrd Skynyrd expert.
Well, I wouldn't say expert, but, you know, this was in an era, I don't know, I feel silly talking on this show about this, but, you know, this was in an era where broadcasters really had to know their stuff. They had to remember names and dates and places and stuff. And I'm just so glad that I was ever a part of that, up to and including, I'm so glad that you and I are doing this show for, you know, public affairs.
And I agree with you that today, broadcasters, I'm one of them, don't have to remember anything.
No. The interweb is right there.
I've got this list right in front of me.
That's right.
Simple Man, that's a great song.
Oh, great song.
What's your name, little girl? What's
Once
your
again,
name?
Once again, a great song.
Great song.
You'll love this, Adam. The big thing with Lynyrd Skynyrd is they had written a number of epic songs. As we well know, Freebird is, you know, there's several different versions of it. There's some live versions of it that are almost 18 minutes long. But Lynyrd Skynyrd, to their credit, the last couple years of their existence as the primary band pre-plane crash, they had started to write some pretty amazing songs that were about 3.5 minutes long. These guys kind of created the late part of Southern rock, because Southern rock began with bands like the Allman Brothers. And then Lynyrd Skynyrd sort of put the capital dot at the end of the sentence. And yeah, so we mm-hmm. can never, ever dismiss how amazing they were to the music world.
I think we have to mention Sweet Home Alabama.
There you go. And you'll love this, Alabama loves that song. It's obviously one of the most well-known songs in the world. And it was written by a group of guys from Gainesville, Florida.
And they sing it in Tuscaloosa Saturday afternoon.
Absolutely.
And then the song That Smell, which is what I was referring to when I said that, you know, they can taste it and they can smell it. And if you were wondering, what is he talking about, that smell? Because that could be, you know, linked to a bad taco or some nasty nachos. That's not what I was talking about.
No, not at all.
It's a Lynyrd Skynyrd song. In fact, it's a big hit. So, great, Lynyrd Skynyrd. Hats off to you for helping out with hurricane help with your golf outing in Bradenton, Florida. Could you imagine? I would love to play golf with the members of Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Wouldn't it be great? Absolutely. Yeah.
And that, you know what? That goes back to what we've always talked about. If you have the chance to put your charity dollar towards something that you can also selfishly get some entertainment out of. I mean, if you like to golf, you're going to golf anyway. So why not spend that money on something that helps some other people and you get some cool memory out of it, like playing golf with Lynyrd Skynyrd? I wish I lived down there right now. I'd drive
pull
for that
right
weekend.
Up.
I would be there. I would be in the back row of the clubhouse yelling, Freebird!
That's funny.
They got to hate that.
Hey, here's something we've talked about on the show, and I just pulled this because as I was going through doing our research, I was kind of impressed by this. As you well know, a number of auctions have raised money, mostly for the people that own the items, but also in many cases, there have been great charity auctions. This one was not a charity auction, but an interesting footnote. We're talking a little bit about classic rock history. A Beatles album that was autographed by all four members of the band just auctioned off for $12,000.
You know what? When you said 12, I didn't know what you were going to say. And I'm like, there's no way he's going to say $12 million. And I wouldn't have been surprised.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have been surprised. But
that's the reason why I brought this
$12,000 kind of seems low to me.
Well, I'm with you. This almost seems affordable. Now, that's the reason why I brought it up here on the show. It was a copy of the 1965 album, Help. It was autographed after a sold-out show in their hometown of Liverpool. So there is some documentation that this was signed. This is a legit signing from the Beatles. And while there are plenty of Beatles autographs, a record featuring all four signatures is very rare, and collectors believe that fewer than 100 exist. So if you want to look at legitimate albums that have been signed by all four members, less than 100.
Less than 100. That's absolutely worth more than $12,000. This guy needs to turn around and sell this on eBay and make a quick 100K.
We've always talked about that. Well, it's a little bit like when you have work done at your home. Is it 12,000, 12, 12 million? I don't know. I just know I need to have my roof fixed.
You know, we've touched on something here. One of my best friends and I have always talked about. Two bands were mentioned during this show, Kiss and the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always argued, now this isn't, you know, in stone or the absolute God's truth, but we've always argued, at least guys our age, certainly this wouldn't apply to Gen Z or millennials, but if you asked anybody to name all four members of a band,
right,
anybody in Gen X, probably boomers, could name all four members, first and last name, in Kiss and the Beatles. And maybe Van Halen, maybe. But
right.
But you know what? Not everybody knows Anthony Michael, the bass player.
Right.
Was I even right?
Is it Anthony Michael?
Okay,
yes.
I wouldn't have bet my life on that.
Yeah.
But I would bet my life that the bass player from the Beatles was named Paul McCartney and the bass player from Kiss was named Gene Simmons. And I could name the other six members of both those bands.
Right.
And I think almost everybody in our generations can. So we always found that interesting between those two bands. Those are the only two bands.
Lynyrd
Skynyrd, huge hits we just named. And I don't know anybody that could name first and last name the original members of Lynyrd Skynyrd.
No,
can you?
Oh, no, absolutely.
You're a
not.
Lynyrd Skynyrd historian.
Lynyrd
we just
Skynyrd
found
very
out.
Well,
and you still can't.
I probably couldn't name all the band members. No.
I love Def Leppard. I cannot name first and last names of all the members of Def Leppard. I can't. Joe Elliott, I know the singer.
Right.
I know Rick Allen, the drummer.
There you go.
Because he's one of the most famous drummers in the history of the universe because he has one arm.
His circumstances, yes, in life.
I think, and that's Paul. Was there a Paul? A Chris, maybe?
Joe?
Was there a Rick Savage?
Can you name all the guys in Coldplay?
I love Coldplay.
I love Coldplay.
I know one name, Chris Martin. That's it. But I know Ringo Starr.
That I do. Well, here's some good getting back to public affairs. The Federal Trade Commission is finalizing a rule to make canceling subscriptions a lot easier.
Thank
you might
goodness.
Have noticed. Yeah. You sign up for something, there's oftentimes a free trial. The free trial kind of brings us in, Adam. But then you have also found that then you try to get out of it, you try to close it out. And so the Federal Trade Commission will force companies to make it as easy to cancel a subscription as they made it to sign up for one.
And I would assume that part of that new law or new rule is to not only make it easy to cancel the subscription, but to get your money back, too,
yes.
if you unfairly had a subscription renew without your authorization. I recently had a charge on one of my credit cards. It was flagged as fraud. It was the credit card company wanted to... this is a great example for what we've talked about.
Right.
They text and email me that there was a fraudulent charge.
Right.
So instead of me answering that text, I went ahead and got online and found the phone number and called them because I don't know if that's a scam, reaching out to me, trying to get my banking information. So I did find out it was a fraudulent charge from something I purchased 1 year ago that they put me on a yearly renewal without me knowing it. So they were just counting on me. This was a card I hardly ever use. So for me to get a $179 charge, I'm like, I didn't buy this.
Right.
Well, how many people have a card hooked up to their Amazon account and they're just buying, there's three packages delivered to their front porch every day. And you've got, if you looked at your bank statement, there are hundreds of items ranging from $3 to $30 on that credit card transcript or balance sheet. You know, a $179 charge in there might go unnoticed. And that is just not fair. I'm glad that the FTA is jumping in because this is not right.
It's much needed. So look forward to that. And there is also some talk that the new administration may also be looking at capping the interest rates on credit cards at about the 10 to 12% range. Because some of the new interest rates on cards are as high as 28%, 32%, and that makes it much more difficult for consumers to get caught up. I know it's easy for people in my age group to go, well, just don't buy that stuff in the first place. But when I was 20 years old, my hand knew how to slap that credit card down, Adam.
As easy as it was to use a credit card back then, I mean, you just now hook it up to an app that you don't even have to enter the number. You just, I mean, maybe you can use your eyelids and blink. Would you like to purchase this? Blink twice for yes. You just accidentally blink twice and you just bought something.
Yes.
That's how they, and it's a 30% interest charge.
Yeah.
It's just outrageous.
It's gotten crazy. One of the things we talked about on the show was that people are worried about holiday spending because they're still paying their bills from the previous holiday 1 year ago.
I'm still paying off Halloween. How am I going to afford Christmas?
Absolutely.
All right, Jay Baker, thank you so much for coming in studio. This was a fantastic show for our listeners. You can hear these little 30-minute public affairs shows in podcast form on the website, adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit adamritzshow.com.